Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Good morning. I am sick. So now I have my deep radio voice. This is the only time I'll have some semblance of a radio voice.
Excellent. Well, we still haven't fixed our faces just for radio, so we got that going for us.
Yeah, so I'm sorry to all of you that are going to try to watch us when we do some live streams from the SharePoint conference in a week, but you're going to have to look at our faces, or they'll just pull up another browser tab and listen to us.
Nah, we can obscure that stuff, right? There's like a function in YouTube to make that happen.
Maybe the SharePoint monkey would give us his monkey suit that we could wear while we recorded.
There we go. Yeah, we'll just have screaming monkeys in the background. Life will be great.
Yes. Oh, but that'll be good times. So we're recording this on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Scott.
Well, thank you. I mean, I've always been proud to be a mother.
Yeah, so it is. It's Sunday afternoon, a week from today. We should actually both be out there, assuming all of our flights are on time, everything goes well. A week from today, we'll be in sunny Las Vegas for the SharePoint conference.
Watch out, penny slots. Here we come.
Yeah, well, and it's a week from when we record this. What, it'll be like 3 days after people hear this.
Poor souls. Poor unfortunate souls.
But if you are going to be out there, if you are listening to this, you want stickers, you want to say hi, you want us to interview you, feel free to come hunt us down. We'll have shirts that we'll be wearing, not to give away. We'll have our... Yeah, at least I'll have mine. I don't know if you're wearing your matching shirts.
Yeah, don't oversell it there.
Scott and I will be wearing our podcast shirts and our faces will look just like they always do.
Perfect. Well, excellent. Why don't we get into our topic for today?
Yeah, enough random rambling. So our topic today, a sad day, an end of life of some features as we used to know them.
Yeah, no, I need the Monty Python skit in the background, the bring out your dead, bring out your dead.
Maybe we can find some audio to insert. It's about all we could do. All right, so end of life for integration of Skype Business with third-party audio conference providers.
This was interesting. I was on the Twitters one day and browsing through, and I noticed this little announcement. I was like, huh, that's really weird. I haven't seen a link to that in any of my message centers. I don't recall seeing this on the Office 365 blog. It was just a really weird, random thing. And I'm not in the practice of going to docs.microsoft.com and the service descriptions for end-of-life announcements. So this one was a little bit weird to me. But yeah, ACP is going away with Skype for Business. So they announced this on April 24th, 2018. So it's been out there a couple weeks, but I really, like I said, hadn't heard anybody talking about it. But the impact here is if you're an organization that happens to use a third-party conferencing provider, and we're just talking about the audio conferencing portion, right? I want to set up a meeting and have a dial-in and a pool where everybody can join in and go ahead and call and join via VoIP or voice. That is the functionality that's going away. So you used to have a handful of providers who offered that functionality and would have native integrations with Outlook and your Skype client and understand what's going on when you do things like hit the join online button in Outlook when it pops up your meeting request and the reminder and everything else. So what's going to happen is on April 1st, 2019, this functionality is just going to be dead, like Monty Python dead. And what's going to happen is participants who, if you are still on a third-party audio conferencing provider at that point, they're going to have those dial-in numbers. They're no longer going to be able to connect to Skype for Business meetings that are hosted purely in the Skype for Business service because, again, those need to be tied into VoIP and audio conferencing. And now these two things don't know about each other. And the other impact is users who are enabled for a third-party ACP are no longer going to have dial-in information automatically included in their Skype for Business meeting invites. So that's just means they're not going to have it included via the plugins and APIs that exist today. That's not to say that you still can't roll a third-party ACP past April 1st, 2019. And hopefully that provider can catch up and get you a modern Outlook add-in and things like that. But I don't actually know that they would be able to do all of that stuff. So very, very interesting times. And I mean, I've worked with some organizations that have rolled out third-party ACPs, and they definitely fill a niche and they have a place. So this deprecation not only probably hurts the providers, but it certainly hurts organizations as well that might roll these out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'm trying to remember if I maybe did see something like this flash through my message center, but I really can't remember. And like you said, I was actually just going in to look and see if I even still have those settings in here. I think, yeah, so I can still pick them. And this is where if you would go into Skype for Business before, you could go into those users. And within your users, you have an option for that audio conferencing and you can select, you don't want any, you want Microsoft. The four I have are PGI, Intercall, BT Conferencing, AT&T Conferencing. So this is interesting too in that it's not the first time something like this has happened because Microsoft...
No, it's not.
also used to integrate with third-party providers for like PSTN calling with Skype for Business. So I was one that actually fell victim to this. I was using a third party for PSTN calling. And then once Microsoft kind of gets to that point where they think they have a solid product that can compete, they just kind of cut off all of that third party integration. And that's what's happening here is you're just going to lose that ability. And like you said, there's definitely still some options. You have ways to do it, but I'm imagining that whole drop-down for selecting your provider will just go away, and you'll just be able to pick those numbers that you have for the Microsoft numbers if you choose to use their audio conferencing solutions.
So let's talk through those options. And I really love the article that they put out for this one because it does lay out kind of a clear path and what your options are today based on this announcement and what things look like there. So you effectively have three paths to go ahead and get through this. And we should kind of walk through and break down all three. Path yes. One, you know, let's go ahead and say, like you said, let's go to Microsoft Audio Conferencing and start to use Microsoft as that provider. Path two, continue to just use your current provider and live with the Delta or mismatching functionality that comes along with it. Or option three, stop using dial-in conferencing altogether.
This was my favorite.
Absolutely. I saw this one and I was like, oh, we got to talk about this one. So let's start with option number one or path number one, migrate to Microsoft audio conferencing. So there's a bunch of considerations here, right? When you think about having to roll your users off one audio conferencing system and over to another, you know, of course, there's going to be some nuance and some other things that come along with that. So you should be able to do this without any service interruption or service impact as you go ahead and roll it out. That being said, first and foremost, you're probably going to have a licensing and a billing consideration. So your users need to be licensed for Microsoft Audio Conferencing. And while they're licensed for Microsoft Audio Conferencing, they're probably still going to be licensed or you're still going to have your existing vendor relationship with your current ACP company. So you're probably going to have some double billing and some cost and everything else that's going to go into that. And then Microsoft Conferencing does have some different subscription levels, standard. There's things like toll dial-in costs that suddenly get rolled into your per-user monthly subscription cost. So go ahead and take a look at costing and see if that one makes sense for you. Kind of straightforward and for the most part, pretty easy to do. The other thing that you might run into, and one of the reasons that I've done particularly third-party ACPs with like multinational organizations in the past is Microsoft as a phone company isn't available in every country and every region. So they do publish information for country and region availability for audio conferencing and PSTN calling plans and things like that that come together. But everybody would probably want to take a look through there and make sure that you can at least do a one-to-one between the regions where you've deployed ACP today and the local numbers and local dial-ins and things that are provided provided and make sure that there's no impacts there for you for, say, like international or long distance dialing or anything else as you potentially lose options by coming over to Microsoft. Because there, ACP has pretty wide coverage. It has far wider coverage than the PSTN plans do. That being said, there are still gaps in there.
It does. Like you said, the licensing, it can get kind of confusing because it isn't included. And I don't know, I'm torn on this. I see where they're coming from, but audio conferencing by default is only included in that E5 plan. So if you have an E1 or an E3 plan and you are looking to use the Microsoft option, you are either going to have to upgrade to an E5 or you can get audio conferencing for $4 a month for an add-on fee. But one thing I quickly noticed with this is, and I don't know how licensing for some of this works on the other side, but you use somebody like a WebEx or some of those other meeting providers or even the ACPs, and you get like toll-free numbers you can dial into. You get, even with some of those, and I know this one tends to be additional licensing, is being able to dial out to a phone number. So you connect to the meeting and you say, hey, I want this meeting to call me at this phone number. If you want to start leveraging some of that, some of the toll-free numbers, dial-out plans, all of that, that is not included in the audio conferencing by default. So audio conferencing, you just get numbers. They're usually toll numbers for a region. Like you said, toll-free numbers, dial-out, you have to go start looking at what Microsoft calls communication credits. And this is essentially pre-buying phone minutes. And you can buy certain minutes, have it auto-recharge, have it auto-add minutes as you start running out of them. And these communication credits can then be used for toll-free numbers. They can be used for dial-out. And this also gets into some of that international stuff. If you do have users that are in different locations that you do want to dial out to them, communication credits can really come into play and can increase that audio conferencing option quite a bit depending on what features you want available and how much people actually leverage those features you make available.
So a good example of that would be, say you are a business that does, you know, you have operations in the continental United States and someplace down in South America, let's say like Brazil, right? Because Microsoft has some data centers down there. So what could happen is somebody sets up that meeting request and they're on Microsoft ACP and they say, I want to include a toll-free number. Well, if they're down in Brazil, you're going to have a Brazil toll-free dial-in. And then the people in the US who got sent that meeting request, they're going to see a Brazil dial-in, which is going to be a little bit weird for them because now it's not really toll-free. Free, right? They're, like you said, doing international dialing and things like that. So that's where the call me and call out and those communication credits come into play. And if you are an organization that's spread all over the place like that, good luck figuring some of that out, right? Like that's a really like secret sauce calculation to figure out what you're actually going to need, how many users dial out, how many users call me. Do you even want to allow that functionality? Maybe you just shut it down and, you know, there's no way to like eliminate that option from the Skype for Business client, but maybe you just go back and train all your users. And now potentially it is an impact, right? It might not be like a service impact, but it's a end user experience impact. It's a quality of life impact. There's a bunch of other things that come into play there.
Right. And like you said, to try to figure this out, because it's not even like it's a consistent rate where it's everybody that you dial out to or those toll-free numbers. Those rates can vary all over the place based on country you're dialing out to. So in the show notes, we'll place links to some of these where you'd have to go see where any potential user you might dial out to resides, what their phone number is, what those rates might be. Again, trying to estimate it or project what that cost is going to be really hard. You almost would just have to turn it on for a month, be aware that you may rack up quite a bill, and just start looking at what's being utilized and how much it actually ends up costing.
One other thing to you that's probably a big difference from third-party ACPs, and this is a big ask for a lot of organizations, is when you go to somebody, say you do like a WebEx and you end up with a host account, that host account has a dedicated dial-in number, like it has a dedicated conference bridge and a PIN that you as the host get to use. Microsoft conferencing and Microsoft's ACP service, conference IDs are always dynamic. So each and every meeting has its own dedicated conference ID. So you don't have that dedicated call-in line that's allocated to just Ben or just Scott anymore. They go ahead and they do that for enhanced security and supposedly improved experience for back-to-back meetings, which totally makes sense, but you do miss that functionality. So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah. And one other thing, do you want to jump into this meeting migration service now? This was something that was interesting to me. I actually didn't know this existed. So you threw this link out here. Or do you want to kind of cover this after we go through all three options?
Well, let's talk about that. So we've got option one, go ahead and move over to Microsoft Audio Conferencing. There's not much to do there in the way of migration. So any meetings in that case that your users have already scheduled with their third-party ACP, they're automatically going to be rescheduled to include Microsoft Audio Conferencing, Outlook meetings will be updated, and then life's good, right? Pretty simple migration path, and you're all set and ready to go. You just understand kind of all the little knobs and levers and everything else that we go ahead and move around to make that service work. Option two was, let's go ahead and continue to use a third-party audio conferencing provider. So if you do that, you are going to experience a service impact because theoretically, third-party ACP dial information will no longer be able to be used to join the audio portion of a Skype for Business meeting. So what that means is you can't have users on both VoIP and the PSTN side in the same meeting bridge. Everybody's going to have to dial in, or everybody's going to need to come across and come through VoIP. So this might also have some downstream impacts because now those third-party ACPs are going to have to author new Outlook add-ins and things like that to make sure that, hey, meetings get updated and they get set and they're all ready to go. But one of those things that does come into play here is that meeting migration service, which helps you automatically reschedule the meetings of users after you go ahead and disable the integration with a third-party ACP, or say you were like switching ACPs or something like that. So that way you can do meeting migrations kind of manually for your users to go ahead and smooth that transition.
Yeah, and that was an interesting service that you could do that per user. It looks like it will also automatically trigger as it sees different changes and configuration changes. It'll just trigger and run automatically to remove that third party, insert the Microsoft stuff. And really the only thing users will have to do is updated meeting invites will automatically get sent out with the new Microsoft information in there. You can accept it. You're good to go. If this is a more complex type scenario for you and you don't necessarily want those meeting invites to start getting sent out, maybe because of the process you have to go through, you could end up with three or four of them. You can actually turn off this meeting migration service, make all your changes, and then turn it back on. And then it'll just update all those meeting once, send out new meeting invites. So it does. At least they are trying to help minimize that pain that you would have to go through to replace all of that dial information in all those meetings that you already have scheduled.
Yeah, they are trying.
Yeah, there's a link. You can go read through it. I had to read through this article a few times and I was like, it's interesting. I like what they're doing. And they do give you a lot of options.
Let's talk about some ways that you might want to go ahead and smooth kind of your user experience if you do end up on that second path. So you've decided that we can't go to Microsoft Audio Conferencing, or it's not an option for us, and we want to continue to use a third-party ACP, and we're going to go past that date. So we're going to work with our vendor, and we're going to yell at them and make sure that, hey, they're going to have updated add-ins and all those good kinds of things. So I did mention that there is lack of connectivity between the VoIP and PSTN bridges, and there's no way to bridge that gap now. So one of the things that you would probably want to do if you continue down the path of saying, yep, we're going to be third-party ACP and this is what we're going to do, is you would probably want to go ahead and disable VoIP for all the meetings for all those users who are going to be on third-party ACP so that you can prevent that fragmented audio scenario and potentially cut down on help desk requests, service desk tickets, that kind of thing. So there are PowerShell commandlets out there for things like your CS conferencing policy. And there's a nice little allow IP audio parameter on there, which you go ahead and set that flag to false. And hey, now we're not allowed to use VoIP audio on our meetings anymore, only for those users that you go ahead and set it for. And life's good, right? So now we don't have the split bridge thing. Of course, now you do need to teach users that if they were used to dialing in just from Skype on their desktop, like you and I are on Zoom today, right? And usually just hit join the meeting via computer audio, so it all comes over VoIP. And that's not going to happen in this scenario. Users are going to have to dial in from a PSTN line. And that's a potential breaker for a lot of organizations, or something that you're just going to have to figure out.
Yeah. So I have one. I'm going to throw this curveball in there because we haven't discussed it at all yet. And it just kind of occurred to me as we were talking through path two, is I see potentially there being an option too, where maybe there's some third parties that actually stand up like a hosted Skype for Business environment with calling enabled. And you would almost do like a, you wouldn't have everything hosted in Office 365. Maybe you'd continue to leave SharePoint there. You'd continue to leave Exchange there. And some other third party is hosting your Skype for Business and they provide a bunch of additional functionality. Again, it's not mentioned. I guess I could see it as a potential because I know that type of scenario existed for PSTN calling at one point in time. Could be interesting if somebody tried to do that. I don't know how well it would work, though.
That still exists today, right? You can go out to the call towers of the world, and there's a bunch of other companies that do hosted Skype for you, and they'll go ahead and stand all that stuff up, and life will be good. It should be kind of clear in this. So when we're talking through these paths, we're making the assumption, and the way Microsoft authored this article and they put this announcement out, they're making the assumption that you are going to be in Skype for Business Online for some component, right? You're going to have users licensed and up and running and ready to go for something. That being said, yeah, you can certainly go all out third party and be split out into something else. That comes with all sorts of its own weirdness, let alone the dial-in stuff for meetings, even just using external applications or signing into applications, right? If you're a company that goes with, say you do like a call tower of the world and you don't set up your directory synchronization the right way and doing kind of password sync and everything else, then all of a sudden you've got two users names and two passwords all to sign into Skype and get things going, because you're going to sign into Skype with your third-party provider, and then you're going to have to still do things like tie your Skype client into your Exchange calendar so that it can go ahead and pull up your meetings and have your schedule and everything inside of there. So it's a really weird split brain kind of situation. Totally doable, totally viable. I'm 100% in agreement with you. I think just for the purposes of these scenarios, we would imagine that organizations are going to have a presence in Skype for Business Online in some way, shape, or form. And we're just trying to figure out that ACP component.
Yeah. And like you said, the other option I can see too, that third party, is maybe some third parties will start creating add-ins that let you quickly add in that conference information. Because right now, like you said, you'd have to either do a copy and paste, or I suppose maybe you could set up like an exchange, like a rule in Exchange to automatically append conference call information to it if you wanted to go that third party route and just use phone conferencing for all your meetings.
It starts to get a little bit weird, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Let's talk through option number three, because this is my favorite one.
Yes. Stop using dial-in conferencing altogether. We're going to use sign language over video.
Well, no, we're still going to use voice, but we're going to rely 100% on VoIP and never have a landline dial-in or a PSTN dial-in number. So this might be optional or a viable option for some organizations, right? So in that case of the orgs, like you said, where they're on E3s today and they don't want to eat the impact of a per user charge or having to find a third-party ACP, or they probably already live this way today if they're not doing ACP to begin with, all their users just go ahead and use VoIP all the time, whether it's on a mobile device or desktop or whatever it happens to be. That comes with all sorts of interesting nuance, right? Because now we're doing voice over IP. So there's bandwidth. There is our internet egress to go ahead and talk to that service. What if I have an office with really low bandwidth and a bunch of people are trying to dial in, or they're trying to do screen shares and audio and share files and do all these other things? It just starts to add up very quickly, and kind of technical debt racks up behind you, I think, when you go down that path, particularly for larger organizations. So basically, you would say, you know what, we use ACP today, or we don't use it today, and we're not interested in going there. So we're just going to disable every single user from any current ACP providers, and we're going to let the MMS service, that meeting migration service, go ahead and push things over for us and massage our meetings so that all the dial-in information gets removed, and then you're good to go. You're just running on VoIP, and as long as you transition your users over to this model before April 1st, 2019, no impact, right? Because you've upgraded all your internet circuits and quadrupled your bandwidth and started doing QoS, and magically you've moved your remote locations in the middle of nowhere over to major cities so they have enough pipes so they actually work with Skype, and life is good.
I like that option. I'm going to use that one. Oh, and don't invite any third-party outside vendors, contractors, clients, anything to your meeting, because that brings in a whole nother set of issues with VoIP. Usually, it should work most of the time. I actually had this the other day. I was driving. A client was using Skype for Business, trying to join the VoIP while I was driving, and it was trying to launch different Skype clients. It was trying to do some of it in the browser, and then it was telling me it couldn't actually use the Skype for Business client on my phone. I will say I did eventually get joined via VoIP, and it did work, but it was not nearly as easy or probably nearly as safe for me as it would have been had I been able to just dial into a phone number.
It is hard and it's rough, and we're in this weird transition time. So I think it's important to, and we've talked about this a bunch, but to call out why they're doing this. So Skype for Business as a consumer-facing service is falling out and being collapsed into Microsoft Teams. So we've covered the roadmap in the past and run through that. But I think it's interesting, if you take a look at the roadmap from a couple months ago, there were things like audio conferencing, which hadn't been moved over to the Teams client. So the roadmap was last updated on April 23rd, and this end of life announcement for ACP was published on April 24th. But if you go and look at that April 23rd announcement or roadmap update, one of the things you'll see in there is that available today is audio conferencing in preview inside of Microsoft Teams. So when it comes to being able to roll your meetings over and have the same number of users and all those kinds of things, that feature and that particular piece of functionality should theoretically now be in the Teams client and ready to go for you.
Yeah, and I will say I actually used Teams the other day for a client of mine to host a video meeting, and it actually worked. He was able to join without any issue, jumped right in the meeting. We did audio, we did video, all of that, and it actually worked really well. I was pleasantly surprised. So hopefully as they do transition this all over to Teams, maybe, fingers crossed, knock on wood, everything will get a little bit better. Maybe it'll work a little bit smoother. But I do have to give them credit. I was pleasantly surprised with how well it worked and how easy they were able to jump in.
My biggest thing has been working with those organizations who haven't told their users about Teams and what it is, or they haven't given them the proper training to understand, right? So that all of a sudden somebody will go out and they'll say, hey, we have a new project group, but that project group is really tied to a team. And then they start creating meeting requests over there, and the person who's creating the meeting request doesn't know what's happening when they're creating that request and how it's getting sent out to the group, and the people joining from the group are seeing this thing about this new Teams client, and then they've got to go download this weird Electron thing, and they find out all of a sudden that it's pretty janky and they weren't told about it and how it's coming on board, and they just don't understand what's going on. So you've really got to help your users and hold their hands and kind of get them over that initial hump. And as long as you're willing to do that, then it can be a very interesting and different story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would really recommend starting to at least think about this now, because Microsoft has been going crazy with getting everything moved over, with trying to get everything into Teams. I mean, according to this roadmap, and they may update it again, but everything should be in that Teams client by the end of this year, like another 9 months from now.
It is coming very quick.
All right. Well, with that, that was definitely a good conversation on conference calling, the end of life of ACP, and where Microsoft is going with it. So thanks, Scott. Enjoyed it.
Perfect. Thanks, Ben.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.